CloudTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is Booker T.
This is Wildcat Chris Harris.
Hey everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million-Dollar Man.
I am Sid Vicious!
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
This is WTR Sunday Night!
Wrestle Talk Radio.
The greatest wrestling talk show of all time!
You fucking funny asshole!
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
If you haven't noticed, and judging by the attendance, you haven't.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
This guy threw at his own kid in a father-son game.
The Omega.
Better teach this kid some control before he kills somebody.
Heartbreak Mike.
Look at this fucking guy.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I'm gonna stick it up fucking ass.
All right, knock that shit off.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G.
This is former WWE superstar and ECW general manager.
Alejandro Estrada. Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device. WTR Sunday Night.
You can't say goddamn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Follow like a spotlight, two eyes like the sun. Go ahead, keep your distance from me. Soon you're gonna come. When you flick your hair like you don't care, and you're asking where I'm from. That game that you're running, baby, you've already won.
And welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is our TLC pay-per-view recap. Our final pay-per-view of the year.
Our final show of the year.
Final show of the year.
Yeah, final show of the year.
Final show of the year.
Some would say this is our final battle of the year.
Final battle of the year. Oh, well. So, there's your reference for the night. Probably will not make any more, but I
can make them all night. Let's go.
Sure you can. But yeah, it is the TLC show, so we have a 4-hour event to cover, so we need to get underway. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, Heartbreak Mike.
What's going on, guys? Heartbreak Mike here. Wow. All right. Yeah, 4 hours. Yeah, let's get to it.
We have no time to waste. This is their final show. We got to pack this shit up and get out of here. And the one who has to lead us through it is one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, no, I'm taking it easy tonight. I'm going to let Rock drive this bus. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the final 2018 WTR Sunday Night webcast. That's right. This is it. Barring any major events or anything happening, we're taking a Christmas break just because of the way Christmas falls and New Year's Eve falls this year. We're going to be a little bit too busy to pay any attention to pro wrestling at all. So, like I said, unless something massive happens and we need to talk about it next Sunday night, enjoy this program and we'll see you in 2019. Good night, everybody. Oh, wait a minute.
Wait. And yes, I am watching the Eagles game.
Intern, where's the list?
Yeah, start doing your
job.
Get
on that.
Get on it. We need results. So, Tim, as they mentioned in the intro, 4-hour show, at 8:14, what did I tell you?
What did you tell me? That it felt like it was a long show
already?
It was
a long show already. And that was at 8:14 Eastern. To be fair, at points it picked up after that point, but holy hell did they pack a lot of stuff in starting at like 6 o'clock.
I had to do some quick math because that would be 6:14 p.m. Mountain Standard Time.
Yeah.
And I'm in Mountain Standard Time because I kind of live in the mountains, almost sort of.
Almost kind of, sort of, kind of, maybe.
I'm like 45 minutes away from the mountains. It's awesome. I'm talking the Rocky Mountains, of course.
Of course.
As opposed to the Cotton Ball Mountains.
So, yeah, they came into the show, Mega, giving us 12 matches. Why? Why? This is not WrestleMania. Why do we need 12 matches?
Why do we need 12 matches on TLC?
And they never told us what was going to be on the pre-show.
Nope.
Nope, not at all.
All week long,
nothing was said. Not even on Twitter during the day. Hey, this is what you can expect on the pre-show. Oh, no. Just at 6:17 Eastern, here's the Cruiserweight title match. Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander doing things to kill themselves because... Cruiserweights.
Oh, because no one watches 205 Live. Please watch 205
Please
Live.
Please watch 205 Live so they can stop killing themselves.
before they die, they are currently 205 Live until someone takes their own neck out.
This matchup was solid. I'll say that.
Yeah. But well, these two work really well together.
They do. But to me, this is just me. Maybe you have a different opinion. It fell a step below their normal type of match.
There is one element to the previous match we saw between Buddy and Cedric, and that is this one did not take place in Buddy's home.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a very, very fired up crowd. It was a very fired up Buddy Murphy.
Yes, and this was a crowd getting into a wrestling show at 3:15 Eastern watching this show.
Yeah.
Or 3:15 Pacific to watch a wrestling show. So it's San Jose, so it takes them a minute to get into the feel, the flow of things. I mean, it was fine. It was solid.
Yeah.
They also didn't have the time they normally do for the title match. It just felt... It was there. It was a match. It was there. I know Tim saw part of it. Anything you need to add to it?
I saw part of what?
The Cruiserweight title... Wow. Wow. Great. Fantastic.
No. Dude, I was still at work. I told you that. They were streaming it live on Twitter, the pre-show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was at work. I caught like 3 seconds of the goddamn thing.
Okay.
Because I almost single-handedly saved the store by selling like $6,000 worth of product today by myself.
Well done. I just want to know how much you saw the match, that's all.
That's all.
I said you saw some of it, that's all I
asked. Yeah, 30 seconds. It was awesome.
There you go. Buddy Murphy retains his Cruiserweight Championship. Huzzah. Then we had the worst ladder match of all time, Elias and Lashley.
It was almost even worse than this, because when they announced this match, the rules were that whoever climbs up the ladder gets to use the guitar in the match.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Like, well, no, someone was smart, because they realized you're not going to climb this big, heavy metal thing just to get this hollow piece of balsa wood hanging from the rafters.
So it went from a Russo special to a traditional ladder match. That sucked.
I almost would have been more... I wouldn't have been more invested in this because Bobby Lashley is such a fucking waste of talent right now. But like, I would be more interested in this if the stipulation was whoever gets the shot in with it wins. Like, then you've actually have an additional stipulation other than... It's just a ladder match, except instead of a contract or a championship, it's a fucking guitar. And you don't even get to use it, you just get it.
And this is what made the matchup pointless. From being a subpar ladder match that was rushed on a pre-show, Elias wins, does it, gets beaten up, and then gets hit with his own goddamn guitar. What was the damn point of the match?
I don't know. Bobby Lashley's ass.
Yeah. Like, legitimately, took away any point of his winning by having him get beaten down. So guess what we're going to see? We're probably going to see another match on Monday Night Raw.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
What's his little mouthpiece?
Leo Rush.
Yeah, I hate that effort.
Wow.
I hate Leo Rush. And I don't mean, storyline, I'm supposed to hate him. He's a heel. The guy sucks toilet water.
You don't know what he does in his spare time.
I've said this before. The guy is the worst mouthpiece I have ever seen in the history of professional wrestling. And that's saying something.
You've seen a lot of them.
Yeah, guys like Squiggy. Anyway.
Ooh, taking shots.
So?
Just saying, just pointing it out. You don't like the whole, my man, Bobby Lashley.
I mean, if you're going to try to say something to piss off the crowd, Try saying something.
Look at
my
this.
Man, Bobby Lashley, licking his asshole. Licking his ass. It's him in the
his asshole.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, okay, I kind of got carried away. You get the idea.
Oh, man.
I think that was probably Leo Rush's favorite pose. And I'm probably going to get in trouble now from the LGBTQ XYZ group for saying that. But
I think it's his favorite pose because it's the one where he's taller than Bobby.
But realistically, he's still not taller than Bobby. He's
No.
Bobby's ass is still bigger than Leo Rush. Because Leo Rush, when he puts on his gear, looks like he's 14 years old. Anyway.
Yeah, Bobby's ass makes more pleasant noises than Leo Rush, too.
Yes, Mike, go ahead. Defend Leo Rush, go.
I dare you to attempt to defend Leo Rush.
In WWE, I can't.
There you go.
In the indie scenes, yeah.
Yeah, while we're at it, is Team Chat listening tonight?
I don't know, maybe.
Call Matt, on. If you're listening, I just want to point it out on Twitter the other night. You got a little carried away. He was saying that I could go toe-to-toe in a promo with Paul Heyman. I'll be one of the first ones to tell you, yeah, I'm good when I cut a promo. But come on. I'm like Triple A ball. He's Major League.
Nobody is Heyman.
Nobody.
The only comparison is they're both Jewish. As we move on to the mixed match.
Oh, wow. Haven't pulled that one out in a while.
Holy my God. Who's the one who celebrates Hanukkah? Not me.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rock, fresh off Hanukkah, is recharged.
It's all those latkes that he's eating.
It's all the chocolate. Anyway, Mixed Match Challenge Final, streaming live on Facebook Watch and the WWE Network. It was R-Truth and Carmella versus Alicia Fox and Jinder Mahal, because that's what I told you that was last week would happen.
Chocolate-dipped bacon.
And it did happen.
God. A match of complete pointlessness.
So R-Truth and Carmella win. They are now number 30s in their respective Royal Rumble matches. And I will admit, R-Truth got me to laugh with his choice. His delivery was great. Like, talking all about, we're going to do tropical locations, think bigger. And then he goes, we're going to WWE headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut. I laughed. I thought he was going to say Disneyland, because they're in California, they could do some stuff there. No, we're going to WWE HQ.
No. So R-Truth and Carmella can be funny at WWE HQ.
Ever since Truth screwed up the name of the town they were in, that one time, what was it, 5 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a match. It was there.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't need to see Alicia Fox wrestle any more times. Yeah. All right. Now we get into some real wrestling. SmackDown Tag Team titles are on the line. The Bar versus the New Day, and also the Usos were there.
The Usos were there, and they did great job super kicking and breaking up pins.
Because they were barely in this match. I think they had a minute. Mm-hmm. To do their stuff.
They wrestled the match as if they were both injured and trying to work easy.
I mean, that's possible.
I'm not speculating here. It's just like the level that they were kept out of this match just genuinely felt like the same kind of thing you would do is if someone was hurt and you needed to give them a light, give them a light task to do.
And it was a weird setup for the match where, okay, you figured it's a triple threat match, but it's not. You only had two people in the ring at the same time, so it made it... That style of tag match makes it weird to begin with.
Yeah, like, why would you ever tag your opponent in?
There's no need to, and to be fair, they did blind tags and whatever, but... I don't know, it felt weird. The match was fine.
The match was fine, but, like, I could go for a while without seeing these three facing off each other. That said, they're the only three teams on SmackDown, so.
But at the same point, we were doing a tables, ladders, and chairs pay-per-view, and this could have been a TLC match.
Oh, come on. When has a three-way tag team match ever been a big deal for a TLC?
Never. It would be innovative.
Yeah, doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
The Bar are still your SmackDown tag team title holders.
Damn it.
Speaking of TLC, it's tables, ladders, and chairs. Braun Strowman, Baron Corbin, Heath Slater is your referee. Baron Corbin's like, hey, I'm doing a great job, right? Y'all love me, right? No. So we start the count because, you know, apparently there's countouts in a TLC match. Heath Slater gets the 7 music hits. Question. Why does the count stop if music hits? Anyone?
Because referees get distracted like stray puppies.
Gotcha.
I was going to say something similar, yes.
So, a bunch of people.
I've seen Survivor Series matches where the referee stopped because someone came down, someone's music played. You could pin Dolph Ziggler for 4 score and 7 years, and he's not getting up. But Sting's coming out, so everyone stop.
The lights were out.
The lights were out because that stops him from slapping his hand one more time.
Yeah.
Can't see where it's going to land. I don't know. I don't want it to fall into something that maybe it shouldn't.
There might be something icky on the McCandless.
On the McCandless.
Maybe there's a tack left over from Mick Foley 12 years ago.
No, I'm just thinking you said McCandless. Maybe somebody spilled some special sauce from their Big Mac because you said McCandless.
Yeah, McCandless.
You did.
I put it on McRing.
Wait.
Okay, quit McRibbing me.
She was not on this show. So a bunch of people coming out to help Braun Strowman because he might not be able to fight, but it's no DQ, so other people can fight. So Apollo Crews shows up randomly with a steel chair. Gable and Rude come out with chairs. Finn Balor has a chair. Then Heath Slater gets the biggest pop since he won the tag team titles by taking off his shirt. And the crowd went crazy for this man who's been a referee for 1 week, taking off his shirt. He attacks Baron Corbin. They all get their shots in with chairs. Corbin leaves. He's like, I'm done with all this.
I can't remember the rest of the song.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, that was
dun, 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 dun.
Kurt Angle returned, if you couldn't tell by the singing. He brings Corbin.
You be careful. We upload this to YouTube. It'll get copyright ID'd.
There you go.
YouTube, that left-wing piece of...
Make sure you follow and subscribe to TJ Omega on YouTube, youtube.com/TJ Omega.
Who has absolutely no problem with the authoritarian rule of Google.
Give him more money. So Kurt Angle...
Give me more money. Need computer.
You see, if they punish you for stuff I say, then there is a problem.
Make sure you click those ads.
Hey, no, don't say stuff
don't
like
do that.
That.
Don't do that to me. Don't.
No. You can't point out the ads that are all over the websites and everything that you visit, just generically speaking, and click on that, you know, click on the ads. You can't mention that because of the policy that AdSense has. You're not allowed to draw extra attention to the Google ads that are on, like, old pieces of mymind.cf, for example.
Okay, let me rephrase it. Make sure you ring that bell. Anyway.
Ooh la la.
So Kurt Angle returns, sits him with chairs, throws him back in the ring. Everyone hits a finish. Slater puts his shirt back on. The crowd goes crazy. He puts the shirt back on. So he gets 2 pops for a shirt.
The crowd is really into dressing tonight.
Now, hang on a second. Were the pops for Heath Slater or were the pops for the referee shirt? That's the question. Inquiring minds want to know. Nothing?
No. Everyone had a finish. Slater puts the shirt back on. Strowman stands on Corbin 1-2-3. Baron Corbin is no longer your general manager of Monday Night Raw. Everyone rejoices because everyone believes that'll be the creative fix. Braun Strowman,
that'll fix everything.
Braun Strowman will now get a title shot at the Royal Rumble and lose it to Brock Lesnar. But, hey, Braun's getting title shot. Yay.
Again. Against the same guy.
But, everyone, in case you're unaware, Vince McMahon's coming back to Monday Night Raw tomorrow.
He's going to shake things up.
He's shaking things up again.
He's showing up to give Raw a ratings boost. Sorely
needed.
Please,
anything. We have nothing left.
Because SmackDown certainly does not need it.
Well, SmackDown
does. They both need it.
They both need it, but Raw needs it more. We then get to the tables match. Ruby Riott, Natalya. I'm going to give Liv Morgan a lot of credit for taking the bump she did through her table. She took a hell of a bump. Sarah Logan took one as well, but there was that. Natty and Ruby had some nice trash talk. And then Natty started maneuvering a table. And when Natty moves a table, she's very slow with it.
Methodical.
Methodical is a good way to put it.
Methodical.
She pulls the table out, shows it off. It has a picture of Ruby Riott on it. Slides it gently into the ring. Pulls out a jacket. Shows it off. Hey, look, jacket.
Okay, did I miss you mentioning that Ruby Riott, the Riott Squad, brought out a table that had a decal of Jim the Anvil Neidhart on it first?
No, I did not mention that because I didn't feel the need to since it was brought up on Raw.
Okay, because, yeah, I just wanted to point that out. Before you go any further, I want to just, I'm going to let you know I've got some things to address concerning this whole storyline and using Jim the Anvil Neidhart. So when you're done, cue me up and I'll go through it.
Okay. So she shows off her jacket. Ruby's just waiting. She puts the slip jacket on, make sure it's all snuggly. Gets in the ring, slowly sets up the table. Ruby's just there, waiting.
Ruby's dead.
She's just dead, waiting and waiting and waiting. To the point where Natty had to make sure it was perfectly lined up with the corner. Like, she gave it one last little, all right, now it's perfect. Now we can go back to battle. Took forever. That said, this was a really good match, despite the five-hour table setup. It's really good. The counter from the off the top rope from the Rana into a powerbomb was a great finish. Feel good moment. Natty did not cry. She was all smiles. It was great. A happy moment. You could have thought WWE had gone the other way, make Natty cry on TV again, because that's what they like to do.
Yeah, like considering the way they've taken, like, they have no qualms against using Roman Reigns' leukemia as a storyline, so there was just that fear in the back of my mind going, oh, please do not let this go the way of cheap heat just for Ruby.
Ruby's really good. Natty's really good. So this was a good matchup. It would have been a better match if you didn't have the elephant hanging above it, Tim.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I was queuing you up to talk about the storyline, so just do it. I'm going to watch the end of this Eagles game.
Yeah, I know exactly what you were doing, but I don't see an elephant hanging above it. What I'm going to tell everybody right now...
Some would say it's an anvil.
No, I'm not going to say that either. The majority of you listening happen to know for a fact that I know them. Okay, I know Natty very well. I know her husband, TJ, very well. Tyson Kidd, for those of you not educated enough. Now you know better. I knew Jim. I've hung out with Jim. I have partied with Jim. And I have read on Twitter, and I've read on message boards, and I've read, on the dirt sheet websites that have comments, underneath stories that they post. I have read comments. People are offended that they are making a storyline out of the death of Jim the Anvil Neidhart and using his daughter Natty to help sell the story, because, of course, you know, that's par for the course and a natural thing to do. Let me tell you right now, none of what we saw would have taken place without Natalya's consent, number one. Number two, the entire storyline, the whole angle leading right up to this match at TLC, was for Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Like, take your blinders off. Take off your snowflake glasses and realize the entire angle was a tribute to the Anvil. And I sent a message to TJ as soon as the second the match was over. Jim would have really enjoyed that. And I tell you, nobody would have been a bigger supporter of this, in not just the match, but the entire storyline. Nobody would have given a bigger pop than Jim the Anvil Neidhart for this. So all of you on your soapboxes and this thin-skinned on behalf of the Hart and the Neidhart family, get over yourselves, okay? You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Stop talking about it. I know, because I know the family. Jim Neidhart would have absolutely loved this entire because that's exactly what it was. It was a tribute to him, and he would have loved every minute of the entire thing, right from the very beginning up until tonight's match. When you look at it from that side and you realize, okay, then you get it. I don't think any of the four of us were upset or offended or disgusted by anything that we saw happen. Were you, Mike?
Nope.
You weren't offended or disgusted or anything. Omega?
I'm still not a fan of the feud starting by showing Natty having a breakdown to end a match.
I get where you're coming from.
That's the only issue I take, because I don't like when you're in the midst of the showing the women as tough as the men. I've never seen a man have an emotional breakdown to end a match. That's all I'm saying, and that's the only issue I take. Everything else since then, it's been harsh.
Yeah.
But I know that's the kind of thing that only happens if there's total consent and approval with everyone whose business it is.
Yep. I can understand what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say Ruby's the bad guy. Yep. If you're offended, that's the idea.
If you're upset with the whole thing, you're supposed to be upset with the whole thing. You're supposed to wind up hating Ruby because of it. And if you hate Ruby because of it, they did a great job. If you hate WWE because of it, smarten the fuck up. That's all I can say. Rock, your opinions on the entire storyline.
I was offended because creatively it could have been better.
Okay. Now, I'm talking as a fan and not a nitpicky little Jewish prick that you happen to be.
Whoa!
All of a sudden, I just got hung up on.
No, that's one of the least offensive things you probably ever said towards me.
Yeah, that's true.
No,
people aren't privy to some of the shit that I call you sometimes.
No, they're not. but no, I look at it and like,
just as a fan.
As a fan, it's like, as a fan, that's where I'm saying creatively it could have been better, because it didn't draw me in like it should have.
Or could have.
It like, yeah. It fell out of the blue.
Here's the thing. What I was just giving people shit for was they were saying, oh, they're taking this too far. They're taking this too far. You're the other end of the spectrum. You're telling us literally that they didn't take it far enough.
If this was on SmackDown, they would have gone so much further.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the way SmackDown's written, it's such a more personal driven story show.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been so much better. Like, you go back to the AJ Samoa Joe stuff where it's all contrived and whatever. This is not it wasn't a real life thing, but they made it so personal with the family and stuff. You could have gone there.
Even though Raw is 3 hours, they do have twice the roster, so they still got to get a whole bunch of whole bunch of shit in.
But it's not even that. It's personal story driven. It's two different types of shows. But that's besides the point. Going back to the whole thing of the blessing from Natty, whatever. She was quoted saying to her, this has been very therapeutic for her.
Yep.
Which, if that's the case, fantastic. We can be done with it now.
I've said my piece and I've given.
No, I'm not you. I meant creatively. Let's move on from this.
No, I was just saying, I've said my piece and given people shit who deserve to get shit over the whole thing, whether they hear me or not. What do we do now with this? Because they've told this story.
The problem is, it's hard to move either one onto something when you have Ronda doing other things and there's no real other direction. So, okay, tomorrow night you're going to get Ruby Riott and Natty in some sort of battle or a six-person battle or whatever. We're getting that. It was great, a feel-good moment, and that's all. I don't know. I say we move on.
Yes.
Drew McIntyre and Finn Balor. Yep, I was there.
Damn.
That was there.
It was slow. I don't know. I don't know what it is. You would think they would click better. It just, I don't know. It felt in a weird position coming off of that feel-good moment, and then you get this slow, drawn-out match that has some heat but doesn't have a lot of heat, and I don't know. Then you had Dolph. Why? He interfered. Finn wins. I don't know.
I like how you say it like that. You had Dolph.
You had Dolph.
Fucking Dolph.
Is he a babyface now? Is he a heel? What's Dolph? It's the age-old question. What's Dolph? Is he just a comedian?
Dolph is Dolph.
I don't know. What do you think, Omega?
I'm kind of with you in, this should be a really solid match. I'm not entirely sure why it wasn't.
There felt like there was no purpose to it. There's no meaning. They weren't fighting for anything because the result doesn't really matter.
Yeah. like was nothing was at stake at this in this match whatsoever. It's no number one contendership. There was no obviously no title, but
there was nothing. It was just, hey, here's a match that we've seen. We'll see again probably in 2 weeks on Raw.
Yeah, it's just
a match.
It's very much the definition of just give them something to do.
If this matchup wasn't on this show, it wouldn't have changed the show one way or the other.
You wouldn't have missed it. You would not have missed it.
Finn Balor won. Later on the show, he got attacked during an interview by Dolph Ziggler, setting up a match between Finn Balor and Dolph Ziggler tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. At least it's not Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler for the third straight week. That's a positive.
Is it?
So I like you're looking on the bright side.
Then we had a chairs match. Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton, 2018. We're in 18, right? 2018, Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton, chairs match.
Just barely.
Boogie boarding a chair, Omega.
Jesus.
It's a really dumb spot, but at least it's one I haven't seen before. I don't know why. I don't know what extra impact he gets by sliding the chair.
The same kind of impact that Bobby Lashley has by putting the ladder on his shoulder, then dropping it. Nothing.
Yeah, I know. I fucking hate chair matches. They are, I mean, it's so tacked on just for the TLC part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And because it's the one type of match on the card where there's no fucking stipulation. There's no alternate way of winning. It's just, there's chairs. So there.
There's just chairs just, are there.
Chairs are there. You can use them if you want. It comes to mind.
Victory roll, Mike. A victory roll wins this one. A victory roll.
A victory roll.
Thoughts?
A victory roll. No RKO. No drop of the dime. Victory roll.
Victory roll. Out of nowhere. Victory roll. Chairs match. Not a knockout with a chair.
Think about it.
Victory roll.
No, a victory roll match. Off of the chairs, because that makes it a much better pin.
Yep.
No.
Yep, totally does. Makes it more athletic. It makes it high impact.
I'm tired of your sarcasm. Tell the truth.
Rey Mysterio is your winner. I'm just going to move on. Cause trying.
Victory roll.
Trying.
Chairs match.
Happened. It was there.
That's like when Drew McIntyre was selling a hurt left knee and Finn totally ignored it. Great ring psychology. I know, I backslid a couple of matches.
You did. That's okay.
But I wanted to point that out.
I know, because you pointed that one out to me earlier. I was surprised you didn't mention it earlier. Anyway.
Wow.
Ronda Rousey, Nia Jax, the Raw Women's Championship.
You said it to me. You probably said it to other people you were chatting with, Rock.
Hmm.
Ronda carried the goddamn match.
She carried the goddamn match. Oh, sure she did.
She actually made
rookie.
She actually made Nia not look bad.
Which is based
Herculean.
On... which is a hard... It's very hard to do. Especially when she has her outfit choices, Omega.
What the fuck? I described it as looking like one of Eva Marie's old outfits pulled over one of Nia's outfits.
Which is not a lie.
No, it's not.
Not a lie. They had enough moments in this matchup to make it very entertaining. They played off each other well. They could have told a whole different story, but they refused to tell the story of a facebreaker in the build-up, even though every promo was about a facebreaker.
Okay, you know what I want you to do is just lay it on everybody what you laid on me about how
I've done this
creative
rant.
Screwed up.
I've done this rant for 4 weeks now. I'm not doing
yeah,
it
but you've
again.
Done it on the rack, not on WTR.
I've done it on the rack. I've done it on the Raw post show. I have to do it here, too.
I'll do it here, too, because there's one or two people that don't listen to you anywhere else.
Last show of the night of the year.
Okay, last show of the year. So, Nia Jax, facebreaker. Golden opportunity to do something really cool. So you have 4 or 5 weeks to build to this big Ronda Nia match. Becky has a broken nose. So the first night, Nia should come in, knock someone the hell out, would have sold it huge. And then the next week, knocks another person out, and so on and so forth. And then last week, on Monday Night Raw, they have a face-to-face confrontation. Instead of Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey getting face-to-face, you have Nia Jax screaming on a microphone because that gets her over. Would have been cool leading into this matchup. Ronda gets in Nia's face, instead of having Nia run off like a coward, which they've made her in all this build-up, one punch to Ronda Rousey and knocks her the hell out. Boy, that would have sold the match for many people. Because then in this matchup, one punch, you could believe there's a new champion.
Is she going to land the punch? When you threw that at me, I compared it to Jericho versus Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they did. They built that thing up for a month. Will Jericho wind up taking the spear?
It's simple, logical booking, because they were handed something on a silver platter. They keep referencing it in every promo, but you barely saw the punch to Becky. You're only going off of rumor and speculation.
Yeah, rumor, speculation, and one very oddly positioned camera that caught it.
That's it. Imagine if they actually made it something that she could live past this feud with Ronda Rousey with. That she has a deadly right hand. She's the big Samoan badass with a right hand. Yeah, knocking like, people out.
Just go back to Big Show with the Big Show punch. Yeah. It's not like they haven't done it before.
But instead, you told a different story. This is the story they wanted to tell.
Too bad.
A missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. I enjoyed the match. So it was well done. Ronda's really good.
She had to have been a gymnast before she got into combat sports. Holy fuck.
But, God, I've never seen anyone who is so comfortable with how their body moves. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what sets her apart as just, like, a rookie in this business, is that she's so confident with the way her body works. You can see in everything she does.
You know, here's the thing. Maybe she's still considered a rookie in wrestling, but she's not a rookie by a long stretch in combat sports.
She's an athlete, and you can see it. And that's what makes her so good.
And, you know, I watch a Ronda Rousey match, and I'm amazed at how well she does and how much better she is each and, you know, like every new week, how much further she progresses. And never think about it. Until, wait a minute. She's got all this experience.
We're not saying she's perfect every time, and to say she was perfect in this matchup is lying, but she wasn't. But she was good enough where everything she did mattered. That's what counted.
Yeah, she made Nia look good, which is already a really impressive feat.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the fact that she's in this sport less than a year, that's scary. Like, yep. That's almost he's only 23 levels of scary.
Right.
And my point is yes and no.
So she's now, Ronda's still your champion of Monday Night Raw. And then we got the receipt backstage.
Get my name out of your mouth. Keep your name out of my mouth.
What? After she knocks her down with a shot right to the face.
I love how Nia sold it like she just swung Thor's hammer at her face, just thrown back, just slamming into the metal.
It was perfect. It was perfect. It was the receipt that needed to happen.
Yep. Yeah.
And you can tell that chapter is probably closed now.
And I love the line.
Oh, yeah.
I love the line. Keep my name out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Then we get to the WWE Championship.
Jesus Christ.
Do we have to talk about this worst match of the year?
No, that's the next match.
Absolutely horrible. I wound up making butter tarts. Oh, it was so bad.
Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles.
More, please.
Always more.
They were good. They were really good. But were you expecting anything less out of these two?
No.
We have had high expectations for an AJ Styles match previously, and were disappointed.
Shinsuke
was not because of AJ, but because of Shinsuke.
Because Shinsuke is an outside guy. Daniel Bryan's been in their system forever, so they trust him to have a really good match with AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not to mention, this is a very rejuvenated Daniel Bryan who's getting to do what he's wanted to do for years, which is be the bad guy again.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, wait. That's dead.
That's dead.
It's dead.
It's dead.
Dead. Right. Fickle. Fickle. Really good match. Bryan won with reversing a small package. Good finish. The right finish. The submission game was on point throughout the match. Everything
good
was.
Good false finishes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And this is where a small package or a victory roll actually worked. If felt like it came out of nowhere after a long, grueling matchup. You caught the person slipping for a half a second. And that's all that matters.
Yeah. I like matches where it isn't just, let's get the big move in. It is more a match of just out-wrestling the other guy. Just being more on point for just that 1 second longer than the other one.
So Mike, Daniel Bryan wants to make this belt eco-friendly. What do you think he's going to do?
Oh, God. What is he going to do? I'm scared. I really...
he wants to change his belt because leather is bad. Leather's bad,
okay?
Everything's bad. Good match. Enjoyable. Daniel Bryan's still your champion. Rana gets interviewed. She's asked
the
about...
The cow's already dead. Just use the leather. I mean, like, let's not waste it or anything.
Rana gets interviewed. She's asked about Charlotte. Says, Payback is a bitch, and she's the baddest bitch on the planet, and storms off. Dum, dum, dum.
Foreshadowing.
Intercontinental title, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose.
Wow.
Fun match.
For who?
Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose.
Some say this match is still going on somewhere.
I think Renee Young enjoyed it.
The fangirls enjoyed it because Dean Ambrose was shirtless throughout the entire match. But boy, did this crowd not like it. But to be fair, they had every right not to be invested in it.
This is a point where this show just it's a slog.
And they
this has just been going so long at this point.
And they've wrestled a very slow match.
Yeah. Don't know why. It felt like they never got out of the blocks.
For a match that's supposed to be personal, slow. And to be fair, they creatively dropped the ball with this feud about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
If you actually pay attention to Raw, which I know is a struggle.
What?
Which is a struggle.
What?
It's a struggle. Which is why the post show sometimes doesn't happen, because it's boring. Make sure you check out the Raw post show every Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. You look at you have the big creative angle where Dean Ambrose turned. It was a great moment. Awesome moment. Took advantage of the heat. And then they didn't progress the story for the last 3-4 weeks, where they had barely any interaction. I mean,
got a rabies shot in his ass. That's story progression.
Right. He got the rabies shot. We got to see the replay of the rabies shot an hour later that night, and then again the following week, because you got to hit that home. Technically, this matchup was fine.
Technically.
Everything... From a technical wrestling standpoint, it was a solid wrestling match that the fans just were disinterested in. And you can say, oh, it's a 3-hour something pay-per-view. Well, guess what? I counter with the main event and how interested people were. So it was not how long the show was.
You know, at the end of the day, this whole Dean Ambrose-Seth Rollins feud... It started the night that Roman Reigns announced his leukemia.
Yeah.
And they decided, well, let's go through with it anyway. Because right up until showtime, it was up in the air whether or not it was going to happen or they were going to postpone it because of what happened. And they decided, well, no, you know what? Let's just progress the feud anyway, because that was the original plan. And their hearts just aren't into it, because in real life, all three of them are really good friends. And, it's just, you know, it's tough.
They got to move on from each other. And that's the thing, on the other side of it all, we've seen this.
Yeah.
We've seen Rollins and Ambrose. We've seen the cycle. It's a good cycle, but we've seen it.
Yeah, we saw it the other way around.
And there's no hook, there's no hook for us to see it. What you wanted was to see Seth beat up Dean for what he did, and you didn't even get that payoff anywhere in the last 5 weeks. Sure, he got some shots in, but he never got the full advantage. And he never got it here either. He lost his Intercontinental title, which, if the plan is for him to go further down the line for other things, the perfect booking.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I don't know. Him holding out his fist, hey, shield bump, shield fist bump, come on. Hey, Seth Rollins is stunned, fist bump, come on, do the thing. Alright. I don't know. Dirty Deeds wins the match. Dean Ambrose. Anything else we need to add to that?
Nope.
Adrenaline?
At the very least, caffeine.
Main event time. SmackDown Women's Championship.
Oh, God.
Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Asuka. Before we get to this matchup, intern, where's our stuff? Anyway.
Intern.
Kind of waiting on the email. Just saying. This was a hell of a match. Oh. I think we all need to give Charlotte some major props.
Oh, well, a lot. More than just a few.
Goddamn. She worked her ass off in this one.
The tables were not kind to her.
Yeah, that one table spot, Asuka launching her into the table, way too far away from it. I pointed this out. You see where the table broke was right where the legs attach underneath. Mm. Literally, the corner of the table was broken with the back of Charlotte's neck. And I'm not going to lie, I even said it to Rock, I was hella scared for Charlotte for a minute.
You saw her head smack that table and you went, oh crap.
No, where I got worried was the announcer table spot.
Oh, well, that was the second one. Yes, go ahead, Omega.
That was the second one, go.
Yeah, where she got the old Doink the Clown whoopee cushion landing, except it's what it was.
All of Becky's weight went right on her
chest. All of it, right into her rib cage.
All of it, right there.
Oh. That's a good way to break some ribs. That's a good way to hemorrhage something.
At the very least.
But big props to Charlotte. Go back to the first table spot. Me and Tim were like, she's going to sit out a few minutes. Becky and Asuka are going to carry it. Nope, Charlotte's right back in. She's right back into that fight.
And I'm surprised as shit to have seen Charlotte get back into the fight that quick. I'm like, what the hell is she doing? And that, you know, it happened twice.
Yeah, no shock here. Like, WWE hires some of the toughest women on the planet these days.
Yeah.
They went all out. Best way to describe it is, we've seen women get their chance, get their opportunity, have the matches, and you see it's like, hey, they're doing the spots to make it look like they're doing spots in big matches. They felt really comfortable. They went all out. They went, here's your main event, go forth, make a main event match, and they held nothing back.
Yeah. I expected of Becky and Charlotte, because they've known each other and they've wrestled together forever. When you throw in Asuka, like, those are the only, like, I shouldn't worry about someone like Asuka being the third wheel here, but good Lord, it all worked.
It all worked. When they got a Singapore cane in their hands, whew.
God.
Chairs in the back, whew. There was one that chair shot that looked like it hit a table for Charlotte when Becky swung it at her, but it also looked like it hit her in the back of the head. I was like, ooh, that one's going to ring one.
I take slight issue in a mocking way. Like, I'm not serious about it when I say it, but like, when I see like it's a TLC match, but a kendo stick is also legal.
Hey, like, remember tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs? I mean,
the stairs were legal. That's the thing. So today, like a TLC match, the whole point is tables and ladders and chairs are legal weapons, and we provide you with a great many of them.
It was a cane, so it's a C. It counts.
It's a kendo stick. That's a K and an S.
It's a Singapore cane. Singapore cane. Just ask the Sandman. He's used one for years.
Jesus.
Still do run-ins in 2018. There's your final battle reference. This was a hell of a main event. And then the flip dive by Charlotte on the Becky off the top rope. That was here, you want to land on me, I'm going to land on you.
Now, we needed this match in this pay-per-view.
I told Tim it saved the show.
Yeah, you know, you said that to me, and I said I haven't hated this show. It was the best match of the goddamn night. Doing Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. That was my match of the night candidate right up until the main event. And then, yeah, that one, the main event went over the top. Out of seven, what was it? Seven, main show matches? Ten main show matches. We got like, in my opinion, 3.5 good ones, which does not make for the best of pay-per-views, but it makes it watchable.
And you want to know what the sad part is? Two and a half of those, I guess you can call it, were the women.
It's not sad. That is an accomplishment. That is a long, long way that they have come.
It is. Yep. So, to the finish, Everyone's fighting on ladders. Charlotte and Asuka. Then Charlotte and Becky are fighting on another ladder.
Don't give a damn about my reputation.
Power walking to the ring is Ronda Rousey. She gets in the ring. She pushes over the ladder. Down go Becky and Charlotte.
Bayback's a bitch. She's the baddest bitch on the planet.
And Ronda Rousey picks up Asuka a little bit. Leaves. Asuka climbs. Asuka wins. You're SmackDown Live Women's Champion.
And contrary to what I just read in the chat room, no, it doesn't make Ronda Rousey a heel. She's just getting even for what happened. Oh, my God. Was that 2 months ago already? Yeah, back in October.
No, Survivor Series, a month ago. A month ago. 1 month.
Survivor Series?
It was Charlotte. Charlotte and Ronda at Survivor Series.
Yeah. Hold it. The all-women's pay-per-view. Who did Ronda Rousey fight?
Nikki Bella.
Okay. All women's pay-per-view. Did not something else occur?
Charlotte and Becky had a match. What are you?
Okay, it was
to?
Between. It was on regular. It was the lead up to Survivor Series. So it was right before Survivor Series.
Yeah,
she was getting even with Becky as well.
Waiting. Oh my God.
Trying to figure out what you're going for. Yeah, it was. Remember, it was facebreaker. Go back to the facebreaker. That whole thing. That caused it. It was to build up the Survivor Series. It was supposed to be Becky and Ronda. And then the face broken Ronda Charlotte. So it was payback for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where we were going back to Evolution, but hey, we made it. We made a full circle and we gave Brent an extra minute, hopefully, to get the thing to me.
And so is this setting up Becky versus Ronda Rousey?
It's set in stone, kind of. It could be a receipt for Charlotte, but that's apparently the new WrestleMania plan since we blew Charlotte already. But probably a good switch because that is going to be a way, way hotter match by the time we get to Mania.
But we did not, blow that one, Charlotte and Ronda, because there's a show in Arizona called the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
Ronda and Charlotte, most likely there.
Now, are you ready for this? In both the matches, who's going to be the, first off, Ronda-Charlotte rematch? Who's going to be the heel?
Doesn't matter.
In the Ronda-Becky match, who's going to be the heel?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't goddamn matter. Half the crowd is going to be cheering for Ronda. The other half is going to be cheering for Becky. Let's go, Ronda. Let's go, Becky. I'm addressing our listener, New Jersey Devils fan 68 in the chat room. We tell people that we interact and I'm just making sure that we do that. This is not going to be a babyface versus heel match.
It's going to be
neither one of them.
Two talented individuals going up against each other who are good at trash talk and they're going to deliver a lot of smack to one another in the build. I mentioned this on the rack. This was the finish that needed to happen where Becky had to drop the belt. Because if you want Becky versus Ronda at WrestleMania, one of them's got to drop a belt.
One of them.
And it sure wasn't going to be Ronda.
No.
Nope.
Becky didn't get pinned to lose her championship.
Mm-hmm.
Now Becky Lynch can go win the Royal Rumble.
I was about to say, does this not spoil the Women's Royal Rumble now?
I think.
Who cares?
I think we just got the winner of both Royal Rumble matches tonight. One of them's going to be straight fire, and the other burns it down.
Mm-hmm. There's your hint. We're not going to elaborate.
Just saying.
There's a lot of fire involved, so probably Kane.
Kane will be back. Yes.
Kane with a K.
Yeah, Kane with a K. Oh, well, Demon Kane. Or Mayor Kane. Stretching something. Brent, where's the thing?
I would love to see Kane show up and wrestle as the mayor.
Hey, Kane Kittens, where's the thing? Stretching. He said just a minute.
Hurry the fuck up, Kane Kittens. You had over an hour.
And said, hey, look, me stretching. There's the results. All right, here we go. Pick'em results for WTR Pick'em. Coming in dead last is one of us on this call.
Mike.
No.
No? Omega.
Was 4-6.
Oh, wrong.
You know, that's fine. I prefer an unpredictable show.
Chris Pierce 4-8, Tim was 5-5, Mike was 8-Ball was 5-7, Mike was 7-3, Subway was 7-5, Michael Peterson was 8-3, Sheila was 9-2, Tommy C and myself were 9-3, Lindsay was 10-2, and Amy was 11-1.
Wow.
There you go.
Wait, what? I don't have it. He hasn't sent it to me yet.
It's in your Gmail.
Not yet, but I'm waiting for it.
No, women won the night. Like, it's pretty much apropos for this pay-per-view.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the show. Good show. Enjoyable show. Long show.
Great. Well, okay. Great. I'm just looking at the results real quickly. Finally showed up. When you go 9-2, but you're in fifth place, that should tell you something.
So, again, good show. Long show. Great main event. Women dominated.
Too many matches.
Too many matches. Too many slow matches.
But that's our show.
That is the show. And I've been given a message, and I'm supposed to forward it to all you guys. And I mean Rock, Mike, Omega, and yours truly myself. We have been wished a very, very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year from a listener and her two sons, who are faithful listeners.
Aw.
Sheila. So thanks, Sheila. That was nice of you. That being said, those of you who happen to be of the Jewish persuasion, doesn't Hanukkah end tonight?
A week ago.
Okay, it ended a week ago.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm not freaking Jewish. I like bacon cake.
You want to know if, you know, Lone Jobber actually did its specials this year. Anyway, let's continue.
Did Lone Jobber do a specials this year?
No, that was a shot at him not doing his specials. Let's continue.
That was just giving him shit. Okay, yeah, so we're taking the next 2 weeks off, like I said at the top of the show, everybody. From all of us to all of you, I want to wish you the best of Christmases and have yourselves a really, really, really good New Year. You're going out partying, that's all fine and dandy. Don't drink or, in Canada's case, smoke too much. And if you do, call a cab, get somebody who's like sober to drive you. We want to see you in 2019.
But I could say this.
What?
When we do return, WTR Fantasy returns.
I was just about to mention that.
Well, I mentioned it.
Fine. Steal my thunder.
You're thunder, but I mean,
you are the Loki to my Thor. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, at like 9 p.m. Mountain and 30 seconds, 11 p.m. Mountain and 35 seconds, it's the Raw Post Show.
The final Raw Post Show of, I would assume, of 2018, this Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern.
And, of course, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern.
No.
There will not be a live episode of The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward.
But there will be a show. It will be Jingle All Rack Thursday afternoon, available at wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com. We have Lindsay has holiday stuff going on with her family before she heads out to see more family. So we'll have Jingle All Rack available Thursday afternoon.
There you go. All right. And, also, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as I can get to it.
Hold on. Let me finish the plug.
Oh.
When we return live the following week for Pop Goes the Rack, we're doing Ask the Rack. So send your questions to media at wildtalkradio.com. We're at wildtalkradio, at Rack Radio Show. We'll answer your questions live on the air, because that's a whole show where we just answer your questions. It could be wrestling-related, video game-related, sports-related. It could be a smart-ass question. It could be a dumb-ass question. But if you ask a smart-ass question or a dumb-ass question, you'll get that type of response in return.
So, smart ass or dumb ass, it's up to you to find out. What?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the full plug. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish.
Last night we did cake for the Greater Than Great Debate.
Ooh, did you do bacon cake?
I think there was a bacon cake in there somewhere.
And I mean like cake with bacon.
What one was cakeception? You have to listen to CB Ray Live, the CB Ray Live episode, available at CBRayLive.com tomorrow.
Wow.
This week we're doing holiday TV movie specials. Check it
holiday
out.
Holiday TV movies and specials.
Movie specials, yeah.
Okay. A Christmas Story.
Or others.
Well, check. You gotta watch A Christmas Story every single year.
But that's a Christmas movie.
It has supplanted It's a Wonderful Life.
That's a Christmas movie. We're doing like the one-off specials, like a Doctor Who Christmas special.
Well, okay,
they do one every year.
Yeah,
that's hardly one-off.
Yeah, but we're
in that case, DC Legends of Tomorrow Christmas special.
You can tweet
where
them.
They send Santa Claus to hell.
Tweet your answers to @LoneJobber and he'll add them to the list. Because I'm taking zero responsibility for it. And if you want 13 Doctor Who specials, someone has to commit to doing the show on Saturday, and he knows who he is. We had this discussion. It's CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight is CBRadio.com, greaterthangreatdebate.com.
plug. We're plugged up. We're plugged out, because there's no WTR Sunday night next week. Follow WrestleTalk Radio on the Twitter machines @WTR Sunday Night. Check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter machines @Wild Talk Radio. Facebook, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm on Twitter, and you should follow me. Why? Because what I have to say is very important to me. Follow me at Flames Forums on Twitter. You want to get some politically incorrect, uncensored, no-holds-barred tweets, follow my other account at Voice Insanity. That's pretty much what I got going on, Omega. I got a long ways to go to catch up to you.
Yeah, you do. A lot of people do. But for those who want to follow what I do and see what I'm up to, you can go check me out at Facebook at TJ Reviews, or if you want to look elsewhere on the internet, just search TJ Omega. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on YouTube, where there's over 1,000 videos worth of content. And then there's even more videos, the ones that YouTube doesn't like, but I do, over at tjomega.net.
But make sure you go to his Twitter at TJ Omega. Click on the link at the top pinned tweet.
Please, dear God, buy my stuff. I need a new PC.
Buy his stuff. Buy all of it. Now. Like, not yesterday, today, right this second, go to TJ Omega on the Twitters, buy it now. Just open up your wallets, just buy it. Buy.
My goodness.
Mike.
Okay. Well, you guys can add me on the Twitter page, hit me up, the WTR Oreo. Doing a thing on Facebook, having a Christmas special on the Facebook thing. It's Dragon Honor Wrestling. Take a look into that this week. We're doing a tribute to the troops, and we're doing a Christmas pay-per-view as well. So hopefully to hear you guys, you know. Happy Quantica Birthmas. Fuck the revival. Back to you guys.
Birth?
Did you tweet this week? Did you tweet?
I did.
Wow.
I know.
How many times?
I don't remember. I was feuding with a wrestler, and so.
So you tweeted 10 times in a week.
He tweeted twice.
There you go.
Grace, I tweet twice a minute.
At Flamesworms. This has been WTR Sunday Night, Tim.
That's right. Everybody have yourselves a very Merry Christmas and a happy goddamn New Year. And we'll catch you in
2019. WildTalkRadio.com.